From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Prod. You see, you didn't even have time to make a cup of tea. Or get a... Oh, no, we're talking about McDonald's in a minute. Close to me this week and found by Mark is a brilliant story about the Ukraine weather forecaster who created a bit of a heat wave in the Ukraine.
Yeah, didn't she just... it seems that Ukraine news is maybe not very popular, maybe because it's not trusted, but the weather forecast is, because presumably all they want to do is talk about the weather forecast.
And it's live.
And it's live. That's the most important thing. Well, you'd expect it to be live.
It was live.
That's right.
It was live.
They now do it recorded. because the weather forecaster, Lyudmila Savchenko, I hope I pronounced that
Savchenko, correctly.
started reading out the weather and telling everybody what a great day it was going to be, etc. And then went on to say, unlike this country, which is completely in political disorder, etc., etc., and completely criticised the way that the government was operating before she was hauled off. I'm not sure that she's going to be doing the weather again or, in fact, appearing on television.
I don't think the contract's being renewed somehow.
No.
But it does make you wonder, doesn't it?
It's a strange story. It's a sad story, really, isn't it?
Well, it is sad.
It's got an element of humour in it, but it's also quite sad that this is the sort of way that the Ukrainians act towards things like that.
Well, it's the other interesting thing for me, living, well, literally on the border of the Ukraine, sort of half an hour down the road and you're on the border with the Ukraine. It's interesting how this has been picked up. Whereas a few years ago, and certainly before 1989, it wouldn't have done. It's now gone around the world, courtesy of the interweb, of course, because every news agency is running it. Every one of them.
But well, there was such hope in that.
There
was such hope in that country when they first had their orange revolution, and exactly as Lee has suggested, you know, it's a shame that it's sort of gone back to this, where there is government control over the news in that way. In fact, I see that it's being compared with a similar kind of incident which happened in Ukraine in 2004, where there was, I think, a national TV news, which at the same time, you know, the little picture-in-picture that they have with somebody signing the news for the deaf.
I mean, just qualify that. That's sign language, yeah?
Yeah. That's right, yeah. So I don't know if they use British Sign Language or what. Is there an international sign language anyway?
There is, and there's even a Slovak one.
Oh, right, and they're all different.
Yes.
What a waste of a good opportunity to get everybody together. It seems
quite a dubious thing, though.
Yes, the newsreader then was telling everybody what a fantastic how life was absolutely brilliant and the economy was working well. And meanwhile, the sign interpreter was signing, "This is a load of rubbish. Don't believe a word of it."
I wonder what ever happened to that sign language interpreter. I wonder what they're doing now. I wonder if it's still
salt mines.
Well, yes.
We mentioned the Big Mac nearly at the beginning of the program. A retired prison guard in the US has eaten his 25,000th Big Mac.
That's only one a day.
It's been 39 years since Don Gorsk ate his first 9 Big Macs.
I tell you, I love Big Macs. I think, as we know, I'm a vegetarian, and I love Big Macs. I think they're stunning.
Yeah, I like the veggie burgers.
You're a vegetarian and you like Big Macs?
Yeah, thereby hangs a tail, doesn't it? And I don't have the vegetarian stuff.
The tail of the dog.
Apparently, Mr. Gorse can down a Big Mac in 16 bites.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I could do it in 2. Why has he made a world record? I'm going to take it. Let's phone him up. I'll take him on.
Yeah.
What's amazing is apparently he's thin and his cholesterol is low.
Perhaps he's
quite a trick, Big Macs.
Perhaps he's got one of those metabolisms. But doctors have said they do not.
Really good for you.
Yeah, but doctors have said they do not recommend Mr. Gorsk's diet.
No.
But
think of all the other good things to eat that you'd be missing. And I mean, really, it's extraordinary.
Fish and chips.
Exactly. Now, 25,000 rocket chips, fantastic.
Hold my hands up, being a what's it journalist, an investigative journalist. I have to say, I must interrupt. This is a late news alert. right?
Yes.
He buys 6 Big Macs on a Monday and 8 on a Thursday. That, to my way of thinking, that is 14, isn't it?
Yes.
That's 8? Only 2 a day. Yeah. That's only 2 a day.
No, that's 13. But yes, about 2 a day.
Okay.
6 and 8.
But interestingly, his wife said...
And 14! He's 14, you little liar!
Stop it, you two.
6 and... Oh, yeah, you're quite right. Sorry.
No, there's going to be another... There's going to be another international incident. Apparently, his wife has said, and I presume she means towards the end of his life, she reckons she'll have to put them in a blender for him later. Marvellous.
Oh, I thought she meant put him in a blender.
No...
That'd be a bit awful. You'd have to make sure he's dead first, wouldn't you?
Anyway, good news for the environment in that Amazon.com is selling more e-books than hardcover or paperback books.
Yeah, which right. You can't beat me on journalism, so you started on books now.
Apparently, they're selling 105 books, e-books, for every 100... print books.
So they're selling 5 more than we're selling in print.
Yes, and they say that that doesn't even include the free ones, because there are lots of free ones.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a non-story, Mr. Eric.
Why?
Well, if Kindle's selling 105...
Yes.
And traditional printers are selling 100, mm-hmm. So in the great phase of new technology and all the excitement about newfangled things, it's like the yo-yo, isn't it? Right. Yo-yo sold thousands when they first came out, because everybody thought, ooh, look a yo-yo. Right. And now, the same thing, everybody's buying e-books, but they've only sold about 5 more than
the Yeah, but Lee, that's this year, and so far this year...
So they sold 5 books more in a year?
This year...
This is a ratio. They're saying there was selling 105%.
Yes, and this year...
has been selling 105 Kindle e-books for every 100 print books.
And this year... Yes,
yeah, that's a lot.
Which is amazing, considering that so far this year, they've sold as many e-books as they sold for the entire year of 2010.
Yeah.
Well, whatever they've sold, they've only sold 5% more. Whatever way you look at it, that's 5% more.
Okay, let me try this question on for size then. Now, how long, roughly, have e-books been in existence?
I don't know.
Give it 10 years. Because there was some very embryonic ones about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
How long have print books been going?
150 years, 200 years.
So they've got...
Paxton,
they've got
1497 is it, or something?
Something like that. So they,
well, I don't think they put out proper books then. Well, they did, you know, you're quite right, aren't you? Yeah. Yes, of course. I apologise for my...
Oh, my God. Cordial entente. So anyway, you've got a 200-year head start.
Mm. Yeah.
As over a 10-year sort of... And I'm being generous with 10 years.
We've got 600-year start.
Right. So why aren't print doing 660 times that which e-books are doing?
Because they've only sold 5% more than the traditional ones. It doesn't matter how you try and turn it into a battle. It's 5% more!
I think what we're saying here is actually 55% of all books sold by Kindle are now e-books.
Yes.
In other words, they're succeeding. Well, I have a Kindle, and it is wonderful. I recommend it to anybody.
It isn't.
Brilliant. Tis.
Because it doesn't have fronts in it.
Quick, move on. Quick, tis.
Yeah, that's the level you've had to sink to fight me.
Kindle.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I have to say that the chairman, Jan Terlinski, he absolutely adores his library on the iPad, and he's even converted it over to sort of having pretty little wood scenes on it and all sorts, so it looks like a really, really library.
That sounds lovely. Did you say you got a Kindle, Mark?
I have got a Kindle. It's absolutely fantastic.
Where do you read it?
Where do I read it? Anywhere that I would want to read it, on the tube, in bed, on the beach by the swimming pool. Last year I was in Crete and I had my Kindle and I finished one book, and within about 30 seconds I downloaded the next one in the series and carried on reading. It was great. And also I was able to bring down newspapers, UK newspapers, and I'm talking about local editions, much, much cheaper than the international editions. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
I have no point to make.
Oh, marvellous. Shut up, bloody hell, marvellous.
No, I haven't shut up. I was just thinking, yeah, no, I understand what he's saying. It's a good idea.
And also, I can get Kindle on my mobile phone, so if I forget the Kindle or if I didn't think I was going to want to read it, I can switch on the mobile phone.
On, don't it, Eric?
Yeah, but the amazing...
He won't shut up.
But the amazing thing is I switch on the mobile phone and it immediately retrieves the last page that I was reading on my proper Kindle.
Ooh, whoopee.
It brings me up to date. I mean, you know, how's
that? A bit of toilet paper in your ordinary book, and that'll do exactly the same thing, but quicker.
He has another tree gone. Anyway, talking of the same style as Mr. Banks, there'll be another group of people now vehemently upset.
Yeah, why?
And then I'm going to enjoy every little moment of this, because once upon a life...
I do, yeah.
Yeah, once upon a life, there's... I forget what it's called. I think it's called Mac World, which is kind of a forum for those people that buy computers in cardboard boxes, take them home, carefully put them on the shelf, put a cover over the top of them, get the cardboard box and all the wrapping and put it into a big, big, big plastic bag and put all that lot in the loft so it doesn't get dirty as well. Namely, Mac owners.
Yeah, Mac owners are weirdos.
They waffle on for hours and hours going, you can't hack into a Mac. It's not like a PC. Macs are better. excuse me.
Yeah. You're not so big Macs now, are you?
A fake security program for Apple computers called Mac Defender has clobbered a few of them and got loads of victims. Hundreds of who've installed the software have gone to the Apple forum for help. Oh, diddums.
The truth about this story, which apparently we have lots and lots of Mac owners firing up their Macs and finding pornography all over it, and it's actually a marketing campaign by Apple.
I don't think so.
To persuade new Mac owners, because now that there is pornography available, they're going to go on to log on.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I have a serious point to make here, actually, on this.
Go on, then.
It is interesting. I actually found spyware on my computer. You know what it is? This is happening to everybody. Somebody had hidden a microphone in the casing of my computer.
I was hoping for sanity there, but it didn't really sort of happen, did it? No.
It is very good.
Well, as much as they will, most PC people will admit, there does seem to be less malware around for Mac operating systems than for Windows.
Yeah, but I bet it starts up now, doesn't it?
But the point is that Mac owners have got to be aware, you can't keep burying your head in the sand and say, I've got a Mac, you can't touch me, I've got a Mac, you can't touch, because they can.
No, I know. I have a friend who says that all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Does he keep the box in the loft?
To be honest, he does. he's got to move. He's not that old. He doesn't own a house yet.
Yeah.
And he carries it around wherever he goes. If he goes out for a couple of days, he takes it with him in his box. And I've seen him sitting on a train with the box. All you could see was a pair of legs and a big back box.
A cardboard box.
Yeah, they do. Well, because don't forget, you still have to send your MacBook or whatever it is back in the original packing if you want to send it back for service.
Oh, you have to send them back quite often then, do you?
Why? Well, do you have to do that? Well, that's a bit of an impression.
If you try and... I mean, I know there's now shops around, so in defence of Apple, there are shops and service centres around certainly the US and areas of Europe.
Yeah.
But to qualify this, just recently actually, we got in touch with the Slovak Mac shop, which is nearer to us. They're an agent, not necessarily a shop, because a guest from China was over here. He's an advisor to the Chinese government about education, and he was here, and he'd forgotten a cable for his MacBook. So we phoned up Spiskanovovest, where this shop is, and said, can we have a cable for the MacBook, please? It was the standard power cable.
Yeah.
And they said, no, sorry, we'll have to order it from Hungary.
Oh, heck.
Which is not very good. But
but
also, for those people that haven't got a service centre near them, you can't go to your average shop and get spare parts for Macs. You've got to send it back to somewhere, so it has to go away. And this has been proven so many times. If you can often, and I mean, I'm not suggesting anybody should do this test, but it's a valid test. Stand two stories up and drop a Windows computer to the ground.
It will. My son did that.
It will break.
He broke his.
It will break.
He was emptying out the crumbs, he thought, out of his PC older bag thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't realise, because my son is a complete knob, right, yeah, that the computer was still inside it. And he dropped it off the second floor balcony of his apartment.
Yeah. And if you've got a normal...
It lived, though.
Well, that's surprising. But if you drop a typical tower case, as they know, and one sort of desk machine from two stories up, both the Windows machine and the Mac machine will probably break. It's a fact of life. You know, they're going to break.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you can go to the corner shop, and in a few hours, you can have the Windows machine working again. Because there's parts available everywhere. You cannot do it so easily with a Mac.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's the bottom line.
I agree with you.
Staying with technology for a minute, because this scares the daylights out of me. Your mobile is now a bigger target for thieves if you're in the UK, or could well be, as the first service that allows you to pay for purchases via your mobile phone has been launched in the UK. Basically, what happens is there's like a little box, a bit like a credit card PIN code sort of size thing in a shop. Mm-hmm. You hold your mobile phone against it, and in certain environments, which is going to expand, because your mobile's alongside it, that pays for the bill.
How does it communicate?
It can communicate.
It's a phone.
Does it make a phone this reader or something? I mean,
yes, it actually talks to the reader via short-range wireless technology, or near-field communication, as it's called.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, which is...
I've seen this on telly.
Yeah, which is very... It's a bit like using on older mobiles where you had infrared on the mobile in the early days, so you could sort of copy your music, which copyright-free, obviously, from one phone to another. So it's kind of like that. Or if you think about where you put a swipe card in front of a security box, it's very, very tiny, the transmission range.
Yes.
But you can actually do it. So you hold your mobile phone against the payment machine, just hold it, you don't have to do anything else, it then pays the bill. So all it's going to do is make all these Neanderthals who nick your phones even more interested in nicking your phone.
Absolutely, it's a great... But
isn't there some PIN code protection or something? Or?
Well, no, because you've already done the PIN code... By virtue of putting your phone on.
Ooh, this is a bit of a bad one, isn't
That's
it?
That's how I see it.
It sounds very nasty.
It's ludicrous.
Well, the only godsend is that only purchases currently up to the value of £15 can be used using the service. And users have to preload mobiles with the payment they're going to make. So if you only put 100 quid on, that's the best the thief can get out of it. But it's still 100 quid. And the phone, I can just see more people nicking phones.
Well, I think you're right.
I think it's a very good point, yeah.
Yeah, I really do.
A bit frightening.
So I just err on the side of caution. Whilst everybody else will want you to do this, because they'll go, hey, it's a bit like when a new Windows comes out, or a new Mac operating software, or a new mobile phone. If you don't need to do it, why change?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I don't even do internet banking.
Well, I don't. I've got somebody who does it for me.
Well, I think I would wait for the technology to mature a bit, and so I can understand all the problems.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so I would want the technology the same as me.
Well, I would at least want to be able to put in a PIN code like a credit card. I mean, I don't see any problem with this, you know, if you like replacing a credit card where you also have to put an additional PIN code. But
PIN code?
Personal
identification number.
Thank you for embarrassing me again.
You're very welcome.
Don't ask. Oh, can you embarrass me? He asked.
Yes. And he got it in stereo as well, Mark. Anyway, currently there are something like 50,000 shops in the UK with these NFC-enabled readers, which is a bit concerning. It's just my personal opinion, just err on the side of caution before you jump on this, because how heavy is a credit card? Let's be honest.
It depends on what you got on it, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if you're going to take your wallet out normally anyway, or your purse, as well as your phone, what difference does it make to have a credit card in there?
I agree. I think it's just ludicrous.
Yeah,
I think this whole technology thing has just gone absolutely crazy.
It's getting
the ridiculous governments that we have are all trying to hit old technology systems, whether it's media or whatever it is, it's just an attack on that. And everything that's coming out in new tech at this stage is potentially dangerous.
Funny that. Well, the interesting thing is, somebody actually asked me if I could write a cheque out the other day, and I went, huh? And of course, I forgot in England you still have cheque-books, don't you?
Yeah, of course we do, yeah. You don't have them over there?
Not for long.
Not for long, you won't, but you still got them now. But the only sort of bank accounts that have cheque-books here are business accounts normally.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Anyway, moving along with some more news as we've run out of time already. I love this. Exploding Chinese watermelons.
Well, I know. What are you going to do about that, eh?
I have no idea, Lee. It's your story.
Well, it's the world's story, dear. I'm just delivering it.
Oh, you're the...
I'm a deliverer.
No, basically,
one billion exploding melons. I mean, it's very serious business issues.
And is that, you remember Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson? They were at...
what have they got to do with it?
I'm telling you! I'm just telling you!
Hear the man out!
They were in a grocery shop, right? Right? In London.
All right.
And Dr. Watson slipped on a banana skin and sat on a melon that disappeared up his, like, back thing. Right? And you know what Sherlock Holmes did? He looked at it and said, melon entry, dear Watson, melon entry!
All right. Shall we move on to a different story?
I think so.
I think that's probably a good idea. I think this is deeply sad, and it's rather like calling a bloke by a girl's name, I think. Apart from if you live in Slovakia, of course, because Marion is allowed, because that's a boy's name here. But Facebook has inspired a couple in Israel to name...
Exploding Chinese watermelons.
No, we're bored now. An Israeli couple have named their baby Like.
I know what's a... Yeah, like, brilliant.
What was that famous film star's name? Get off your horse and drink your milk, that fella.
Marion.
John Wayne, he was called Marion.
Oh, that's right, yes, he was, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nobody'd say it to his face, though.
Well, they would if he was in Slovakia, mate, seriously.
What, they get in a fight with John Wayne?
No, they wouldn't mind calling him Marion here, because Marion's a boy's name.
In France, there's a lot of people who are called Marie, Mary, and I'm talking about men.
Yes.
In fact, was it Jean-Marie Le Pen was the...
There's loads of blokes over here called Catherine.
This is going to go
only,
down.
Only in your social
circle. Yeah, absolutely. But apparently the Adler family named the baby Like as a modern and innovative name.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, it's a nice name.
It is, actually, when you think.
Yeah.
How are you going to threaten to beat somebody up while you call him, Oi, Like? No, you can't. No, it's a ridiculous name. That's just going to cause... That's like calling a boy... It's like a boy named Sue, isn't it?
Exactly. It's like Johnny Cash, the song, isn't it? Yeah. Lady Gaga is the first celebrity with 10 million Twitter followers.
My God. We have a story about Twitter, which I think we can actually do next week, you know.
Do you reckon we can? Also in the headlines of the tech world, Google chairman Schmidt has promised privacy controls, Lee.
What's that on? I've not read this one.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, but it's the same story, isn't it? You know, good on him. Let's have more privacy. I know I sent you this story and never read it, didn't I?
No, never mind. Anyway, so they're promising us that. HMV, which is well known for music rather than books, was the owner of, or still is currently, the owner of Waterstones, the book chain, which has been sold to Alexander Mamut.
Been sold to the Russians for only £53 million.
It just makes you wonder if he's bought a pup there, really, if the figures...
Well, wasn't it the Russians who burnt all the books?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Germans, wasn't it? But it was Germans.
There have been a lot of people got a reputation for burning books, including Catholics in South America.
True.
So, believe me...
Well, maybe that's why they bought them, then. They're just going to burn all the Waterstones. Yeah,
well, apparently, Mr. Mamut, who's a Russian billionaire, has paid £53 million for the shop, which will offset some of the debts HMV has got, which total, at the moment, £170 million.
Why didn't he just get himself a Kindle?
I think he probably should have done. Good news from the royal wedding, which continues to bring good things, in that the UK retail sales rose by more than expected in April, probably boosted by the extra holidays and the warm weather. And, of course, the royal wedding.
That's right. And look at the state the nation's in now. What? After it all, we had one day, everybody was excited and happy and spent loads of money, and now we're in the doldrums where people are going to be 40 or 50 years old in Britain before they can actually afford to buy a house.
Never mind, eh? Apparently, it was the biggest rise in retail sales since April 2002.
Yeah, that's another great time of recession.
Was it?
Was it really?
I can't remember.
Well, it is good news anyway.
It's good news. Yeah,
it was a great event.
Yes. There's a couple of other bits of good news I want to really squeeze in very, very quickly. If you haven't seen the news reports, an amazing piece of technology. But I have to say, don't get terribly excited because it doesn't always apply to everybody. This is quite old technology in certain areas because I've seen it in Stoke Mandeville nearly 25 years ago. But a US man who is paralyzed from the chest down after being hit by a car is now able to stand with electrical stimulation from his spinal cord, which is an amazing feat. And our hearts go out to Rob Sumners from Oregon, because you can see on his face that he was just so amazed to be able to do this. But he's terribly, terribly fit. And not every case will be able to be applied the same way. That's science, I'm afraid.
There is a point to be made on that, because if you remember the other story that's gone around this week about the chap who is having his hand chopped off to have a bionic hand put on, and that takes the signals directly from his nerves and his muscles, etc.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be, it sounds a bad choice of words, but I can't think of anything. It's not a great leap, is it? To marry these two bits of technology together.
No, it's not. It's not. I wish more of the academic communities would get together. Which brings us very sadly onto this story. The Canadian researchers have found I'm nervous using the word cure because I don't think it is, but a kind of solution for cancer. But apparently the pharmaceutical companies are not terribly interested, and I'm not surprised.
Why?
Well, because they wouldn't be, because they can make drugs out of the other stuff.
That's right, exactly. Well, that is why I think this story is probably one of the most despicable, and actually should be one of the most incendiary stories around today. I'm going to look into it next week.
Good man,
but
you do
basically,
that.
Yeah, the basic story is that we have a cure for cancer. We have a cure for cancer, but nobody can make any money out of it, so they're not letting us have it.
Moving along very quickly with a couple of minutes to go, the Chilean miner, Jose Odner, who was in the that terrible, in that terrible mining accident last year, wrote a note which the president of Chile showed around. In fact, I saw it on the television when he was coming round Europe, but he hasn't got it back yet. And the government there are saying they're going to put it in a museum, and the Chilean miner wants it back. Just quickly, yes or no answer: should he get it back?
Well, he should. Yeah, he should. No, he shouldn't. It should go in a museum. I've changed my mind.
That was yes.
I think it should be taken back if it's simply just been taken from him. It would be nice if he then agreed to go put it into a museum.
Right, voice of sanity.
Yep, so flipping lovely. Yeah. On that happy note, we'll have to leave Postcard from Potbread for another week, boys and girls. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do via your local station, or you can find us on Facebook. All you have to do is look for or type in the word radio, and you'll see RTI pop up on there, because that's our page. And with that, it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Mark?
Goodbye.
No ice creams next week.
Oh, no. Sorry, there won't be any ice cream, but it was delicious, I have to say.
I want to say goodbye again now, because he did.
Go on, then.
Right.
Goodbye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.